It's Friday, March 17th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcasts.com. Aloha, everyone. Hey, I've got a great show lined up for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, your host. And of course, I want to thank all of you for checking out the show today and for all of our long-term subscribers. Hey, thanks for staying subscribed, being part of the Ohana here. And coming to you from a historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. And I must say, where the weather has been absolutely horrendous. And I want to thank all of you that had taken the time and sending me a note asking me if I was okay. And just let you know that Shoko and I and all of our immediate family members are fine. And for those of you that don't know, a tragedy struck here in Hawaii this week where there was a earthen dam that broke. And there's a feared, I guess, 7 total people have apparently lost their lives. And that was over on Kauai, I believe. And I live on the island of Oahu. So, you know, I've been talking to you guys about all this rain that we've been getting here, and it has been absolutely unbelievable. I was talking with a friend today who is a meteorologist, and I'm like, what is going on with this weather? And he kind of explained what was going on, but needless to say, it has been the rainiest 1 month straight that I have ever seen since we've been here. I guess this 8 or 9 years we've lived here in Hawaii now. And I used to spend a lot of time away. So my wife was saying, no, it used to rain a lot like this when you were on travel. But, oh, I tell you, I do not remember this much crazy weather. Hey, but anyway, let's move along. For those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, hey, thanks for being with us. And also make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. We've had a busy week of posting. We're going to talk about a couple of the articles that have made it up on the website tonight, along with a whole bunch of other information and news. Along with that, make sure you sign up for our podcast newsletter. It's available via the second column of the website. It says podcast newsletter. This is a twice a week a posting that you'll get with the show notes after the show is completed. And, of course, you can check out all of the archive podcasts. Now, I tell you what, just to get in, I have to respond almost immediately at the beginning here of the show because I think my comment the other day about talking about the iPod and how some of you were seeing the title on the ID3 tag coming across as Geek News Central podcast 2006 dash whatever the number may be in the number. And I was on my iPod saying, no, that's not the case. I'm seeing GNC. Well, what happens is, and I guess I kind of knew this, but I had forgotten, and we're going to talk a little more about it later, but it apparently, I know now I'm going to keep in track. There's about 15 employees from Apple that listen to this show. Okay. Quit messing. Tell the iTunes folks, stop. Give us an option in our settings or on our listing. Don't change our ID3 tag. Some of us are big boys. We know that we can manage our own ID3 tags. Don't go in and change our ID3 tag. So what's happening is because I use Juice to download podcasts. I don't use iTunes. But when you get your show via iTunes, they have went in and changed the ID3 tags to what the post is on the website, along with they monkey with it 2 or 3 different other ways, including changing the file name structure. And it really, it irritates me a little bit. And even though we agreed to it in the user agreement, they should leave it alone. They really, really should. But that explains it. That's why I was seeing one thing, and the rest of you that are getting the show via iTunes saw it another way. You will notice tonight when the show goes up. And the thing is, this is the reason why I don't want to do it, okay? Geek News Central Podcast, when Google comes and indexes my site and it finds that title of the show, it indexes it that way. So when someone types in Geek News Central Podcast, guarantee you're going to find, in a date, you can find the show exactly. So when I type the title of the show tonight is GNC dash, it's going to change the results that the search engine is going to have to deal with. And it also will, it's just, it makes me mad to have to do it that way. But you'll see it on your displays tomorrow as GNC dash the a year, month, and date. So anyway, Apple, stop. Okay, let's, already at 6 minutes, and I got to move along. I got a few emails from people saying, Todd, you're going an hour, it's too long, tighten it up a little bit, so I'll do the best I can. We launched podcast promos, and we're off to a good start, lots of activity over there. We're going to talk about how that works, and I'm actually just going to walk you through here on the show. We're going to play some promos that are currently up on podcast promos. And this is how podcasters can utilize this to help other podcasters out and where listeners can go to find out about new shows. And also, the new mic, I got some feedback that the mic wasn't quite dialed in, and hopefully today it is, it's dialed in a little better. I'm a little more happy with the sound that I'm hearing in my headset, so I think we're getting close. We will see. Additionally, if any of you that are listening to the show are in the UK and you're unemployed or you're looking for a job change, I am looking. Actually, what I'm doing is I have a firm that I'm working with out of the UK that has got a business that is going to be doing a lot of podcasting, and they're looking for a content manager slash audio engineer. So if you are looking for a job and you live in the London area, and would like to maybe apply for this job, you need to send me an email with your resume to CEO at rawvoice.com. Now, you got to have some audio background, okay? You need to know how to engineer, actually how to record live phone conversations. You need to know your way around a keyboard and a website. You need to be able to know what's going on with the podcasting space, include RSS and how to deal with that. Have to have a passport and be willing to travel from time to time. This is a serious, serious job offer, okay? So looking for someone in London that is looking for a job to make podcasting a full-time job, and send me an email, CEO at rawvoice.com. Okay, next Tuesday, the show may or may not be produced. I was tasked earlier in the week. I have to go out to Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm leaving Sunday night for a one-day meeting. Living here in Hawaii, we have to leave Sunday evening to get somewhere Monday, mid-morning, midday for Tuesday meetings, and then I fly back to Honolulu on Wednesday. So depending on the schedule, and actually I'm going to be meeting up with some good friends of mine that I haven't seen in a long time. So we'll see. Maybe we'll do the podcast from a restaurant or something. I haven't quite decided. And I got to talk to the individuals I'm going to be hanging out with and see if they're willing to be recorded. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. But I'm going out to Albuquerque to meet with some real premier geeks. These guys are top of their class, very, very smart people. Look forward to going out there. And if you live in the Albuquerque area or Santa Fe or somewhere close, hey, drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, and we'll hook up, okay? And again, I'll be in there just for a couple of days, so holler. Hey, I've been playing around with a new podcast recording application called Podcast Station. I talked to the developer of it earlier in the week, and it's kind of a nice tool, and it's got some functions that I like. It's got a couple of functions that are missing, and I'm going to send him some feedback first before I tell you guys a little more and see if there's maybe I'm missing something on how to utilize it. But if you haven't checked that out yet, Podcast Station, I think it's at podcaststation.com. And anyway, those of you looking for a probably it's kind of it's one of these all-in-one deals where you can just hit record and then you've got all your bumper music and everything. You just press it and play. Seems to be pretty good. The audio interface isn't quite right for me anyway, and as compared to Adobe Audition. So maybe it's just a little config thing. Also, how many of you travel with your laptop all over the place? What I do now is I have, when I'm at home, I'm plugged into my broadband. When I'm at on the go, I have EVDO. And when EVDO isn't working, I have a dial-up account. So depending on which three of those accounts I'm on, I'm trying to send email becomes quite the pain because most ISPs now do not allow you to relay. So let's say I'm on Oceanic, which is Roadrunner here, and I've got my SMTP server set up to Sprint to go outbound. Well, you're not, no longer on Sprint. Sprint says no. But I found this tool, and it's actually used for more than one purpose. But if you're in traveling a lot, you need to check out X-Ray. And you got to be kind of geeky to set it up, okay? But it is awesome. Whenever I change, connection points, all I do is I just take and change a little setting on the X-Ray thing. What it does, it sets up a little SMTP or POP server right on your computer. It can't be seen from the outside, so it's behind the firewall. It's masked. You can set it up to a port whatever you want, and it's very secure. But you're able to essentially you relay through your own computer. Your out like Outlook talks to this little application, and this application knows at the depending on which network I'm on, which SMTP outbound server to send it to. Now, if you're just sitting at home and you're always doing your email from home, don't worry about this. But for those of you that are Uber geeks that are always on the go and have 15 different connection methods, it's awesome. It really, really is. So check out X-Ray. And I'll see if I can find a buddy of mine, actually Angelo, a developer over at Raw Voice, turned me on to it. And this thing is actually can be used for some other functions too that are a little bit, you probably shouldn't use some of the other functions of it. But the capability to being able to just choose a outbound SMTP server on the fly is really, really cool. Okay, let's get right into saving you some money. CY GoDaddy.com is the number one domain register worldwide. Now, with your domain registration, you'll get hosting, a free blog, complete email, and much, much more. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter the code Todd, that's TODD, when you check out and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. Okay, I want to talk quickly just before we get into the regular content. It's been an amazing week of phone calls. And it's kind of ironic because I got an email from somebody that worked at a certain company today. And he says, oh, I'm always laughing about what you're talking about. And, because I work at this specific company. And, but keep it up, And I've been talking with this company in a different channel today. So, it's been kind of an interesting week of phone calls, and we'll see what happens. If something develops, it will. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But otherwise, some cool stuff that could be forthcoming, and look forward to bringing that to you as we can. Now, I did put a couple of teasers, at least one teaser, up on Geek News Central a few days ago. It's called Raspberry, RASBRRY, raspberry.com. If you go over to raspberry.com, you'll see a screen that kind of resembles a raspberry without an E. And there's a place there to drop an email. And this is another podcasting space that's going to be introduced soon. We're not going to say too much right now what it's about. But if you'd like more information, you can go over there. We won't share your email with nobody. We'll put you on a mailing list to essentially give you some info when we get ready to release it in the very near future. And another word that you probably want to watch out for is blueberry. Isn't that kind of funny how I'm on this food terms here? I don't know if Angela's got that domain actually pointing at anything, but you can watch for blueberry.com. And between the two of those, I'm excited about probably, I mean, I'm excited about blueberry the most. And some of you that listen to the show know about it. And we look forward to finally being able to roll those two sites out, and we're pretty excited about it. And in other words, I'll shut up and get into tech. You guys have put up with me talking about too much other stuff here recently anyway. Okay, Apple users, grin, smile, be happy. XP on the MacTel is official, and the guy that did it got paid $13,800 and some dollars for his prize. And a guy by the name of Colin Niederkuhn has just verified the solution that the now famous NARF and fellow programmer Blanca, and these are code words, came up with for dual booting Windows XP and OS 10 on a Intel powered Mac. Well, looks like it's going to happen. And it looks like what they did there was they used an XP boot disk and then did some trickery to make it work. But it looks like you're going to be able to run Windows XP on a Mac. I'm sure that doesn't make Jobs very happy. We'll see if they do anything to try to stop that. I don't know if they can now. The genie's kind of out of the bottle. But it's official. It did happen. And these guys got paid. So if you were contributing to the prize fund on that, your money just got shipped. So I'm sitting here with a cold glass of Red Bull tonight. It's actually pretty late here, so I got to keep the energy up. Okay, on Slashdot, they've got a link to an interesting article, and this is really kind of a science-type deal. But for those of you gentlemen that are a little older, there is a report out that hot peppers kill prostate cancer. And apparently, U.S. and Japanese researchers have announced results of a study showing that capsaicin, I guess that's it, C-A-P-S-A-I-C-I-N, the chemical that makes hot peppers hot, can cause prostate cancer cells to kill themselves. Now, if this was April 1st, I would say that is like probably an April Fool's joke, but it's not. But you think about, I'm sure some of you have had some of this just amazing nuclear hot food. Well, just, it's no doubt. You know, I'm sure there was some scientist sitting around saying, man, I bet you that sauce could kill anything. And then he went and tried it on some prostate cells, and it did the job. Now, I don't know what they're going to have to do there. I don't know if eating more hot peppers is going to do this, or what the treatment level is. Now, they did this on some mice, and it led the tumors to reduce by a fifth of the size. So, pretty significant, you know. And for older guys out there, and the ones that run into trouble, you know, I had a buddy that came down with colon cancer, or actually prostate cancer, and it was pretty serious. You know, it's treatable, but you know, he was worried for a long time and had to go through the process, and it's something we have to watch out for. But maybe the cure will be more hot food. Good excuse to go get load up on hot food or hot sauce. Okay, there was a pretty amazing picture that was up on Flickr a couple of days ago. It was the front side of the new magnetic electric connector. Well, apparently this guy's connector shorted out, and wow, you should have seen the original pictures. But this guy sold out. Apparently Apple has said they're going to take care of his laptop, and they asked him to take the pictures down while they were investigating. And I'm just blown away. I don't know if they threatened him or if they, I don't know what the deal is. All I know is he's getting a brand new laptop, and Apple said, please take the pictures off. But if you, I'm sure they're somewhere, I'm sure people save them someplace. But if you got one of these new MacBooks that have a one of these electrical connectors, my advice to you, until they figure this out, by the look of this connector, don't leave it plugged in when you're not at home, okay? Unplug it, shut the machine down, because the way this thing looked, it could have really, especially if there had been some papers or something around the connector, they could have ended up with a burnt down house. So we'll see what I'm sure there's going to be some more coming out about this, but keep your eyes peeled. Okay, over on Slashdot, they got a link to an article that is some pretty interesting info about Vive's DRM screen. And Vive is the new Intel chip. And check this out. From the article, Don McDonald also told CNET.com.au that Vive won't be testing to see if the content being played is pirated from networks such as BitTorrent. He believes that it's not Intel's job to be policing downloads and it's wrong to assume all consumers are criminals. As such, Vive won't test for watermarks or other red flags that reveal pirated content allowing any type of media to be played. Another choice quote from the article, McDonald is confident that piracy won't be significant for Vive as Intel promises to make content easier to buy than it is to pirate. Well, we know people are going to continue to pirate, but it is interesting to see that Intel is not going to be DRM police. I'm sure the people that are building the operating system will, but it's good to see Intel take this stance. So this was, again, this was on Slashdot, but was referenced from a CNET article so that we give a proper attribution there. And I read the article directly off the Slashdot site. Okay, for those of you that are close to CompUSA, here's a sale that you are not going to want to miss tonight. They have a Midnight Madness sale going on from, and this is not an advertisement, this is a deal, okay? From 6 p.m. to midnight, they have a 200 gig Seagate hard drive for only $29.99. Check this out. It's originally $139. You're going to have a $10 instant savings, $40 manufacturer mail-in rebate, $20 mail-in rebate, and a $40 e-rebate, $29.99. I'm going to go. I'm getting me a couple. I don't know about you guys, but 200 gig hard drives for $29. Buy those all. I'll leave those stacked up in the closet somewhere until I spin a drive. Goes bad. So there's a good deal from at CompUSA tomorrow. So I'll put the link to the flyer in the show notes. But if you don't listen to the show on Friday, you're going to miss this deal, okay? Hey, you know, Philip Terone and Make, they just continue to do and find great stuff, all kinds of gadgets. If you're not subscribed to this magazine and you're a geek, you're really missing out on some cool stuff. There's this guy who built an automated bar. And this bar can make like 150 different drinks. And what he did is he took water bottles and has some pumps and a computer. And it says really low amount of the cost to build this was extremely low. And this thing will make 150 different cocktails. It's got all the menus right in there, mixes it right up. Now, would be the cool thing here on this is if he took this this mod and then he found himself a refrigerator somewhere and put all those bottles that have all those different liquids that spoil and put those in a refrigerator and have that all hooked up, now you're talking. But, you know, my wife's always asking me to make some weird thing, and I'm like, I don't know how to make that. And get into a little book. You know, how many of you do that? You get in the little book, you try to figure out the recipe for something, and it never tastes like it does. You know, this is the key right here. So check that out, and it's via the MakeZine.com website. Okay, on a more serious note, there's a article out that's making the rounds. It's called, Is DRM Sucking the Life Out of Your MP3 Player? There were some tests that were done, and they found that MP3s that did not have, weren't wrapped in DRM, the battery life in the MP3 player lasted like 30% longer, or actually 25% longer with the files that had been encoded with some sort of DRM. So essentially what was happening was the mobile devices, your iTunes, your iPod, or any of your other MP3 players, as they were encountering files with DRM, it was happening to work a lot harder. The processor was to decode all that, apply licenses, and allow the file to play, whereas when it was a file that wasn't encoded in DRM, it didn't have to do all that extra work. So if you're getting less battery life out of your MP3 player, well, maybe it's because all the content in there is wrapped up in DRM. Now, anything that I put on my iPod has been, how should we say, it's DRM-free. And I encourage you to make sure that your content is DRM free, that gets put on your as much as you can, just so that you can take it with you. And I'm not advocating sharing or anything, but I'm advocating your right to have that content that you have paid for and not lose it because something, a computer dies or something doesn't get backed up exactly, and then all of a sudden you've lost all your licenses for that particular track of music. So another reason why DRM is bad, and I think we all knew it, but now it's just, it's actually becoming a it's a it's an issue with wasting energy. Oh gosh. Hey, on the science front, how many of you have seen these television shows where they've loaded a transplant organ up in a igloo cooler full of ice, and the guy runs out to an airplane and gets on it? He's just carrying these old, sometimes they're in styrofoam coolers, sometimes and if you're like, they're transferring human organs that are obviously, it's in a sterile bag and with all that stuff, but they're transferring all these organs all over the country for people that need transplants. And it always kind of struck me as odd. Well, today I found this article that organ transportation gets an upgrade, and this is a very, very cool development. This is a device that actually allows oxygenated nutrient-rich blood to be pumped through an organ. It's actually a kind of like a life support system for an organ that can be transported. It's got a little computer on top, and it's got a whole holding device. Very, very amazing. And this should prolong the life of organs that are being in the transport mode, and will reduce the amount of deterioration that's going to occur. So check this out. This is simply, and I don't know what the full how this thing, if they put it in this and they surround this with the oxygenated blood. I'm not exactly sure if they actually hook it up to any of the veins, but awesome. Totally, totally awesome. Okay, over on O'Malik's blog, he's got a report here on fiber to the home. It's an updated report on what the worldwide deployment is. And what they're saying now is that there are 6 million fiber connected homes worldwide. It's up 140% since last year. And not surprisingly, the majority of them are in Japan and in Asia, with the United States woefully behind. But it looks like they've been the most aggressive to do that in the Asian markets. Well, Korea and other countries are still doing some trials. Let's see here, China is conducting some trials also. And then, of course, in the European bloc, there's going to be, oh, it says in the European bloc, they're actually rolling out some stuff too. So we'll see what happens here. But obviously, Verizon and AT&T and those type of companies are starting to roll stuff out, but it's really, really slow. I wish they had it here. I would definitely pay for it. When I was living in Guam, this is kind of a side story, and this was how many years ago now? It's been at least 10 years since I haven't lived in Guam. Yeah, at least 10, 8, 11, maybe 12. Guam was one of the first, believe it or not, it was such a remote place, but small enough that they had a fiber ring that went around the entire island, and it was actually the most connected place in the world for a while. And the inner island, the island traffic in between the homes and residences and businesses was fast, but the pipes back to the mainland were still pretty slow. But it was awesome being on that and integrating and working with people on that fiber connected network all those years ago, but yet here we are this far down the road, and most of the homes in America are not connected to date. So we will see. We'll see what happens. I know a few of you that are listening to this show have it. I know that you enjoy it, and we'll see. We'll see what happens as it rolls out throughout the rest of the United States. Okay, I was turned on to a product called Zimbra, Zimbra. And Zimbra is a collaboration suite, and it's an open source edition. And I've been really kind of paying a track to what these types of tools are, because I've become to have a little bit of interest in Asterisk. Now, Zimbra integrates with Digimon Asterisk, and Asterisk is essentially a voicemail service that you can run in your place of business, replacing PBXs and that type of stuff. But Zimbra ties into the Asterisk system. And actually, it's one of the Gabcast website, gabcast.com, is a complete Asterisk solution is what they're running over there. You know, you go over there and participate in the Gabcast website, and you call into a number and record your, you know, you put your mailbox number in, and you make a recording, and it's no more than a voicemail that's being picked up and dropped into your particular show, which is, you know, pretty awesome. But this is kind of a solution that looks good for businesses and for, you know, actually even small businesses. But I kind of did look at some of the integrated plans that were for pricing on this, a little pricey. So what I'm kind of looking for is, I've got some ideas that I want to do with Podcaster News and some other stuff we've got kicking around. If you are have got some familiarity with Asterisk or even Zimbra itself, why don't you drop me a line? I'm looking for an expert in that field that I want to work with. And maybe you can help us out. Maybe we can help you out at the same time. But for those of you that are looking for some type of collaborative solutions, this definitely looks like the place to be. Pricing is a little high on their commercial products, but there is the open source available if you are able to do the integration yourself. Okay, those of you that have camera phones, I know many of you do. There is a new service out there called Shozu, S-H-O-Z-U, Shozu. It's a way to take a picture with this integration into some of the phones that are available, and it'll automatically drop it on your Flickr site, BuzzNet, WebShots. I think there's one other I'm not familiar with. What is the other site? It's got kind of a T as a symbol, but this has been getting a little press the last couple of days, Shozu.com. Movie theaters are asking municipalities if they can start jamming cell phones. And part of the reason is because with movie theaters facing the falling attendance numbers, they're considering asking not only local but federal authorities permission to jam cell phone reception in an attempt to stop annoying conversation during films. I personally haven't observed someone getting on the telephone at a movie. Now, I have seen some text messaging going on and thought it was pretty rude. But, you know, go to a movie, shut your, you know, as much money as we're having to spend. And we've talked about that before. As much money as you have to spend to go to a movie these days, you don't want some chucklehead talking on the phone. I think I would have to, I'd get mean. There'd be a scene that no one would enjoy the movie. Over at South by Southwest, looks like the representatives that were there from the RIAA and MPAA took a lot of heat, and this just goes to show you how these folks don't get it and how they're toting the party line. Here is a quote. The audience was filled with other examples of an industry gone crazy. One guy moved to the UK and all of his DVDs stopped working because they were region encoded, as most are. The MPAA's answer was, that was in the contract. You agreed to it when you bought the DVD. Another guy asked, Why can't he just download The Sopranos after all? He's an HBO subscriber, so he's paid for it. He just happened to miss the latest episode. Again, the MPAA representative said, Well, that didn't make no sense. Anyway, she's just basically saying, you missed part of the time it was on? Tough. Okay, and of course, we know that over time, these type of attitudes are going to continue to cause those of you that are worried about fair use and being able to access content that you're already paying for. It's going to cause real issues, and it's causing real issues today. You know, imagine having to move somewhere, and then all of a sudden, your entire DVD collection doesn't work. And here's a little hint for you. Usually the very, very cheap DVD players, the real, real cheap ones, the ones you see on sale at Walmart for $49, many times those do not have region encoding. So if you have some region coded DVDs that you need to play, you know, go to Walmart, pick up one of those cheap DVD players, and see if it'll play it, because you might be pleasantly surprised. If it isn't, they got a return policy. Okay, a little more info. You know, Philip Terone, the Mr. Gadget Man, we talked about him here a little while ago. He's part of the Make Magazine's editor over there. And they had some fun at South by Southwest. They were running a remote-controlled Roomba. And it's Roomba takes Frogger to the asphalt jungle. They dressed this Roomba up as a Frogger and drove it across busy traffic and had a lot of, you got to read the article. You really do, because it's a two-pager, and it talks about the adventure they had with remote controlling this device across traffic. Now, a Roomba is a vacuum, okay? And they're driving this thing, through across lanes of traffic, and I won't save the ending for you, but no one got arrested, but it turned out to be a fun night for the gang there. And it just shows you what geeks will do when geeks are away from home. Yeah. The boys will play, that's for sure. All right, the Microsoft has got a rating program built into Vista. And there's a CNET article that says, will your PC keep pace with Vista? And what it's going to do is when you buy your computer, you're going to be able to bring up a screen that's going to give you the performance rating of the components within your PC. And they're going to test stuff like graphic card, memory speed, processor speed, video capability. It's going to measure a number of things, and it's going to give you a score of 1 being very poor, 5 being very high. And of course, I'm sure what will happen with this rating system, if they implement it completely, is that you're going to see a big price differential between machines that are on the floor. Probably those machines that are on the floor that run $399 today will have a 1, and then those machines that are a high end that are on the floor you see today probably will end up with a 5. But it's going to give you kind of a reference on where your PC's at. It's something that you'll be able to access even after you buy your computer and get it home. They're putting technology into Vista to supposedly, you ever notice when you get a brand new PC, man, that thing smokes for like the first 2 or 3 months, and all of a sudden it just starts getting slowed down. And then notoriously, people will take their Windows XP installation and reinstall it like once a year. Just slick their system, which is totally stupid. But many, many people do, just to get the speed back. Well, they're saying Vista's going to solve that. I'm not holding my breath. I'm really not. And I'm pretty anal retentive when it comes to looking at my system, making sure it doesn't get loaded up with extra stuff, and that it's, you know, programs haven't snuck stuff in where they're not supposed to, and removing services that aren't supposed to be running. But it's a good, it's maybe a good sign that they're realizing that they have an issue, and hopefully they've actually taken care of it in the release of Vista. I look forward to it. And I'm actually going to start running a pre-production, a beta release of Vista here directly, and we're going to start giving you some content on that directly. All right, rumor on the street is that Netscape.com is going to be relaunched as a dig-like site, and that Jason Calacanis is going to be heading it. And I would say, if based upon where this rumor came from and based upon the comments out of Calacanis in his weblog, that we could see something change with Netscape. You know, Netscape used to be pretty popular, and it kind of fell out of favor with geeks and others a number of years ago. But, you know, we'll see what kind of success Calacanis has and where they go with this, if it's going to be geek-oriented, if it's going to be consumer-oriented. I'm almost sure that they'll do this and make it consumer-oriented. But can you imagine a not just for geeks type of, you know, Netscape have that broad of a scope? Might be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? Definitely be a place to go over and try to find lots and lots of news. All right, I want to bring up an article. I've been having an ongoing discussion with Jay Allen. He is the product manager of Movable Type over at Six Apart. And I wrote a basic article about a week ago that said, hey, where the heck is Six Apart on Movable Type? And that resulted in a very long comment thread on my website. And just recently, I have made a continued post on the website that talked about where it's basically responses to comments that Jay made in the comment section. And I think by looking at the commentary coming from them and the lack of blogging, I am concerned about the direction that mobile type is heading in. And I don't know what the story is on that, on why they are, I know why they're, it's all about the bottom line. You know, they've done these big deals, did a big one with Yahoo and some other groups, but they are saying that version 3.3 is coming. And, you know, I basically have taken them to task two or three different times here, saying, come on, guys, start talking to, you know, those of us down here that are your core audience, our core users, and let us know what you're coming out with the product, because there's other blogging applications out there that are being aggressively developed with lots of activity happening, and they need to get on the ball and start taking care of those of us that are paying for the application. And until they do, I'm not going to quit bugging them. I really not. And you guys can read the full thread. I encourage you to. Again, it's over on the main website at geeknewscentral.com. All right, those of you that may use the website bananas.com, if I don't know if any of you actually use that music website, but apparently they had some exposed accounts. So if you had an account over there, you very well could have had your personal information and credit card information ripped off because of a breach. So make you aware of that. I never heard of the website prior to today. Okay, on Yahoo News, computer researchers warning of new net attacks. And there's been some research done to show that of over 1,500 attacks that have recently been taken out against different types of web services and websites, they have become more sophisticated, where some of these attacks are actually going after DNS servers, and they're just, you know, they're taking sites down hard, and they're very, very powerful internet attacks. They feel that this is a growing threat that will continue. And when one attack can account for more than 6% of the name percent, when it can affect 6% of the name servers in the entire world, to causing this huge internet flood of data, it's a big issue. So it's curious what they're thinking here on what could be forthcoming in these type of attacks. You definitely don't want to be on the wrong side of the fence, because these people will shut websites down very, very easily. And it's about using web bots. I think Microsoft has got a little bit to blame here, and so many of these computers just being wide open, and people don't know they're supposed to update them, so it causes those machines to become compromised. A lot of talk this week on RFID tags, and how RFID tags now they were able to load a virus onto an RFID tag. Now check this out. You all know that for those of you that use the Mach 3 Razor, when you open the Mach 3 Razor package up, inside is a little RFID tag. And now they're saying that RFID tag, with as little as 155 bytes of memory, can be infected. It can be infected so much it can get into distribution systems. It can change inventory totals. Could absolutely raise havoc. You know, and a company that uses RFID tags exclusively on a lot of their shipping stuff is Walmart. So there's a huge concern now that some malicious code can get out there and make changes to inventories, could order stuff, you know, who knows? And even to the point where it exploits the software and then opens up holes for hackers to get in and redirect shipments. You know, and here's a semi-truck that pulls up in front of your house and unloads 35 flat-screen TVs that you you didn't order, but, you know, some hackers had them delivered. So we have to keep an eye on what's going on, and this is the first time that RFID tags have been hacked. And, you know, it's pretty serious. You know, you think about a container, a lot of these containers that are coming from overseas now have RFID chips on the outside with the marker of what's in them. And, you know, someone, you know, talk about an opportunity for thieves. You know, they could go in and change the entire load. You know, it may not be that sophisticated, but could be very, very could be very, very devastating to companies and to the bottom line. And organized crime, I'm sure, is going to be real happy to hear about this. All right, a local Hawaii resident here made the news today. His name's Billy Williams, and he has been accused by Microsoft for selling bootlegged Windows XP editions on eBay. And he and seven others are now under the gun of Microsoft legal action. And I did a little Google search on Billy, and Billy's got quite the history here. He's made the news a few times. He used to be a spammer. And again, this is coming from PC World, and I actually saw a press release from Microsoft this morning on this too, and actually had a conversation with a local reporter about it. So Billy's getting all kinds of good attention here in the local area, and congratulations to him for having the heat of Microsoft put down upon him. I'm sure that, of course, he wasn't available for comment today. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? Can you imagine coming off the gun? Would you want the Microsoft's 5,000 lawyers to be breathing down your neck? Not a good thing. You might as well leave the country. You might as well just get up and go. All right, I read something pretty, Amazon's launched a pretty cool service called Amazon S3. It's called a simple storage service. And if you're looking for storage that is accessible any place, you're going to pay 15 cents per gigabyte per month and 20 cents per gigabyte of data transferred. Cannot be used as a hosting service. You have to log in through an interface. So the largest file size you can put on it is a five gig file. But you know, this is actually, come on, Amazon. You know what? You could become a major distribution of podcasts, because at 20 cents a gig, that is about the cheapest deal in town. I'm telling you, you cannot buy bandwidth cheaper than that. And I would pay for bandwidth all day long at 20 cents a gigabyte. So come on, Amazon, open it up for regular hosting and transfer stuff. Okay, I've got two articles I'm just going to link to so that you guys can check out. But a pretty good article on Search Engine Watch. It's two lists, 25 things I hate about Google and 25 things I love about Google. In kind of the stupidity market today, there was some thieves that decided they were going to steal a surveillance camera. Well, you know the rest of the story. You know, hello, you're going to go up, put your face in front of a camera, and you're going to say, oh, this might be a good idea to steal it, and then you take it off the wall. What do they think? The tape was inside the camera? Oh my gosh. That is just like dumber and dumber. On the news front today from Google, Google has dropped videos into RSS feeds. So they're delivering the news of the newest test. They're basically doing this with news and information that they're putting into some of their feeds. So don't be surprised now if you can get Google Video downloaded via RSS feeds into your iPod. I don't know what size the screen resolutions on these videos are, but if nothing else, you get them downloaded into your hard drive via RSS. And of course, this is alpha testing. It's not complicated, Google. Just throw an enclosure tag on there and you're done, okay? And if you're calling it an alpha, well, they call everything an alpha and beta over there at Google, don't they? We're at 48 minutes, and I'm already long. So let me go to some comments. Actually, I'll go to the comments first, and then we'll come back to the podcast promo thing. I'll talk about that at the end. And again, I got a lot of comments from people. Hey, Dave, thanks for the feedback on your new mic, on the new mic. And also, you work at that company that they've been talking to this week. So enjoy. Hopefully there's something comes out of that. I'll tell you about it when it does, okay? Ken turned me on. He's the producer of the Apple News Now podcast, and he's got me linked up to a article. It says create podcast now on a PowerPC. Thought you might like this article for your next show, and I'll put this link up on the website. It comes from pda.live.com. It's your, what else? It's the first software to allow mobile users to create and publish podcasts. Okay, this is from, here's the deal. Sorry, maybe misled you there in that first initial comment. You can create podcasts via your mobile device. So It's called Audio Bay. Retails for $24.95. I'll see if I can get a free copy of that and get it tested on my PDA and see how it works. Next comment is from Anderson. He says, I heard you mention U3 on Tuesday's podcast. While 3 is a great initiative, I don't care for the added cost they want to charge. I prefer the free apps available at portableapps.com. I've taken those apps and added a bunch more that I found on the net and created my own collection. I have pretty much everything I need on a 512 meg flash drive. I've also made the collection available via BitTorrent. Check out the collection. You can visit my site, theinfobox.com. He's got a link to it. Put that up there. And Patrick is in the running for listening to the show in some strange places. It wasn't super strange. He listened to it while hiking in the Colorado Rockies. The next article up is from Arvind. He says he had a comment on the ID3 tag, so we won't go that. I've already talked about that. Thanks for that comment, Arvind. Got an email from Andrew. He said, hey, just listen to your recent show and put a shout out for the strangest place that the Geek News Central has been delivered from. Well, it's not just strange in itself. I listened to Geek News Central while I was in safari in the Mesa Mara, Kenya, darkest Africa. You can check out the pictures on Flickr. He's got that linked up there. Hey, if you go, Andrew, when you guys go do something like that, you know, when you guys are someplace weird and you listen to the old Geek News Central podcast, get your camera out, take a picture. Okay, so I'm still looking for the most strangest spot. Now, I think you probably most remote place. I think you're definitely in the running there. Okay, another guy listened. Stefan listened to us on top of Camelback Mountain in Phoenix, Arizona. And he's been listening to the show for over a year now. And hey, congratulations on your recovery from your quintuple bypass. Oh my goodness. Why don't you tell us about that sometime? Drop us an audio content. And I got an email from, it's from Ryan. I was looking at the email address versus the name. Thanks for your comments on the ID3 tags. Okay, a lot of people, just more and more and more people sent me links about the ID3 tags. Tim did. Tim replied to me. He said, we've already talked about this comment that Tim had about using, maybe not. He says, hi, Todd, I've heard the question on your show about purchasing music from iTunes that is unavailable due to the particular country you make the purchase from. My initial reaction to get around this was to use an anonymous proxy server located in the United States or some country where the music is available. There are a list of these free anonymous proxy servers and their locations on many sites, including publicproxyservers.com, and the user could set his proxy settings in Internet Explorer to use one of these servers, as iTunes takes a proxy setting from Internet Explorer when connecting to the music store. It seems to me that this solution could work unless the song is blocked because of a billing address located in a foreign country and your account details. However, I would have thought this to be unlikely, but I think that's the case. I think they actually block foreign credit cards, but and the rest of you could actually say, could let me know too. I got a comment from Bree asking if we're okay from the all the flooding that was going on here in Hawaii. Yes, I am, of course. And here's a very interesting article. I got a I'll make this the last comment of the day. He says, hi, Todd. I'm a Buddhist monk who lives in a remote forest monastery. I start listening to your show after our evening meditation as I'm walking back to my little 8x10 cabin in the forest. Each of the monastics has their own cabin. We all are spread out over the 250 acres of the monastery. When I return, I continue listening with some small battery-powered speaker, either by candlelight or by the light of my LED light, as I prepare my place for the evening. And he has a Creative Movo 256 meg MP3 player, which I transfer the show to in the monastery office for listening later in my cabin. And he takes care of the website at his monastery, and they rely on the communications from... They use technology to communicate and produce publications and audio recording of their teachings and research and buy materials on the web. Very, very cool. Okay, and I'm going to probably destroy your name here. It's Sudanto. Thanks for that comment. It's much, much appreciated. And Joey... Hey, we're at 54 minutes. I'm sorry, my friend. 55 minutes. I tried to make it shorter, but it is just The show has grown from 45 to 55, and I don't see it getting much shorter ever than 45, and I'll try to keep it to 55 minutes. But let me tell you real quick about podcast promos. And what I'm going to do here is I've got podcast promo website up, and I'm going to click on the Play Now button in one of the categories, and I'm going to show you how easy it is for podcasters to play a promo from the website. All right, let me click play.
This is Dan Adnolfi of the Florin.net podcast. The Florin.net podcast is my own little brain dump, poetry corner, coffee shop, soapbox, and boombox. Caffeine is worshipped, snark is encouraged, and BS is not tolerated. It's a variety show with original poetry and essays, pod-safe music, interviews with interesting folks, and rants about this and that. You can find a little bit of everything at the Florin.net podcast, and you can find the Florin.net podcast at, not surprisingly, Florin.net/podcasts. Remember, it's the coffee talking.
It's going to roll right into the next podcast. It should start here directly.
Today we are standing on the threshold of a new world. New currents are forming. A new way of life is evolving.
We now present
something new called
the Frequency Podcast.
Do you want to stay up to date in what's happening with your favorite bands? Want to hear exclusive interviews from today's hottest Christian artists? Plus, win free stuff in exclusive contests?
Then check out the Frequency Podcast at m88.org. m88.org, your number one source.
Number one
for Jesus freaks everywhere.
And here goes
hey,
one
this
more.
Is Will from CloudyDayArt.com, where poetry inspires life. What's your inspiration?
Music comes to me in daydreams and sometimes even in dreams.
The Lord himself is a lot of inspiration when I'm having times with him.
Most of mine are from past relationships.
Right. So a lot of happy poems then.
Sure, yeah, okay.
I always tell people I just give a voice to those feelings that are very weird inside of us.
CloudyDayArt.com seeks to inspire and be inspired by you, the everyday poet. By you, the undercover poet, scribbling a quick poem on a dirty napkin because you simply must let it out. You can find out more about us at www.CloudyDayArt.com, or you can subscribe to us at feeds.feedburner.com/CloudyDayArt.
Okay, as you can see, real easy, the player was up. Boom, 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 right through a couple of podcast promos. You've supported some other podcasters out there. Get your promos up on podcastpromos.com. We look forward to seeing them. Send me an email when it gets up there. Send it over to ceo@rawvoice.com and let me know, okay? This is going to be a cool way to do it. You can always still send them to me at geeknewspromos@gmail.com. You can send them direct. That's probably the best way to get them on the show because I'm not always going to do a little demo. But as always, we want to thank all of you for tuning in to the Geek News Central podcast. Leave your audio comments at on the voicemail line, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. A little bit of not Senseo, but Red Bull. And, okay, and of course, email to me at geeknews@gmail.com. Or call the voice, Skype me at Geek News Central. I'm all screwed up. All right, we'll see you maybe on Tuesday. If it is, it's going to be a different kind of show, or it's going to come from the hotel. Well, keep your fingers crossed. I have a portable rig with me, but we're ready to do something. I'll send something up, even if it's real short. All right, folks, take care. Aloha.